This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kibbles and Gifts, your one stop for pet supplies on the coastside.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Martins Beach. It's been in the news quite a lot over the last several years, and that's this week's feature in our Feature of the Week. I am Cindy Menzel, and I am visiting today with David Pasternak, who has been living in Martins Beach for nearly 50 years. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
So, David, Martins Beach has been national, international news. Why is it always in the news?
Well, I think the origin was when ownership changed in around 2008, and the new owner attempted to impede or prevent public access to the beach itself.
Okay, and he closed off the road.
He did briefly. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there has been almost uninterrupted access even since this acquisition by the new owner.
Okay, so, and again, Martins Beach is about 20 minutes south of Half Moon Bay.
Oh, not even. It's a bit less than 7 miles south.
Okay, and the big controversy was, it was the new owner a corporation type of thing? And
It was an owner who acquired Martins Beach in the form of an LLC.
And so, the rumors, which we're trying to clarify today, the rumors were that all of the homes there are on leased property and that he was going to try to bump everybody off, or the corporation was going to bump everybody off, and when the leases were up, they were going to have to move, and then he was going to make some resort or something out of that.
Untrue. Again, people have access to so much information now, it's ceasing to amaze us that there are so many rumors which are untrue. But no, in fact, the tenure of the people who have lived there or people who have vacation homes there has continued.
Okay, and so you can you get down there? And someone was telling me they had to pay to park if you went actually down to Martins Beach.
Well, the situation now for more than 70 years has been that it's been a private beach accessible to the public that is required to pay a toll to come down.
Okay, and how much is it to go down and park?
Well, at this point, there are two options. People can drive down to a point midway between the Coast Highway and the beach, park in a lot there, paying $10 per car, or they can park up on the highway and walk down without a charge.
Okay, and I'm told, and I have to admit, I've never been to Martins Beach, so I'd like to come down sometime, but I'm told that there are very big fancy houses, there's quite a few houses, so for those of us who have never been there, what does Martins Beach actually look like, and the houses and such?
Well, the community itself is not visible from the coastal highway, but it consists of 30-some cabins, and I say cabins because the average size, I would say, is 1,000, probably less than 1,000 square feet. These are not Malibu mansions.
Really? Are you sure? I've been hearing they're pretty big.
Well, I've lived there for more than 45 years. A little bit more space when we were raising our kids would have been very welcome.
But I bet. You know,
the truth of the matter is that they're cabins. They were basically cabins built in the 1940s and 50s.
Oh, they were that old.
Oh, yeah. It's an old community. The land itself was farmed. The area around it was farmed by a family that had the property from the very early 20th century until they sold it in 2008.
Okay, and who had it before, or who did they sell it to?
It was a family by the last name of Deeney, longtime coastal family, still living in the area, four generations that I know.
Oh, okay. So, and I presume it's a close-knit community down there. Are the houses, what, 2-3 bedrooms when you say a cabin, or are they, how big do they range?
Well, again, I mean, there's some which are probably in the range of 400 to 500 square feet, and I don't think there's a single one that would reach 2,000 square feet.
Probably. Oh, so they are pretty small.
Oh, they're very small. Most are in the range of 700, 800 square feet.
Oh, my. Okay. And are most of them right there on the beach, so you have to deal with the wind and the surf and the salt and all the maintenance of it would be kind of challenging?
Well, there are a couple of levels. There is a row of homes right on the beachfront, and those have had their problems with the ocean and the elements.
Right.
There is another row, which is somewhat higher, outside of the reach of waves. But again, anybody who has lived on the ocean knows that you're subject to a lot of salt, air, and wind, and storms.
Want to live there, but boy, the reality is something else. So it was built in about the 1940s. I know there are some other neighborhoods that are a result of, say, the earthquake or something, but I wonder why people came. Do you know anything about the history about why they decided to build that community there?
The Deanys were friends with another family by the last name of Watt, like James Watt. And they reached an agreement to develop it a little bit, I guess, for purposes of having a holiday resort. It was very, very popular from the 1940s on, certainly post-World War II, as a place for people to fish. It was one of the few places that we had or have annual runs of a small fish called smelt. It's a fish that comes to spawn during the season. They also were coming regularly to spawn here on some of the local Half Moon Bay beaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from a small resort of sorts. People built small cabins, and that was the progress. And again, the exact dates of construction, I don't recall, but it was probably 1940s, 1950s.
You own your own home, but do you lease the property, or do you own the property that your house is on?
For the most part, the structures themselves are privately owned, but they're all subject to a ground lease. That's right.
Okay. All right. So what is that you've been there for 50 years plus. So tell me about the community. Has it been pretty tight-knit? And we talked about how kids get older and there are as many kids down there. Do you get together? What's it like to live, basically, in Martins Beach?
Well, the demographic has changed an awful lot in the last 40 years, as it has on the coast side generally. It was when I first came to the place as a child with my parents, it was largely Azorean Portuguese, a few Italian, people of Italian background, blue-collar and artists.
Oh, really?
It was much more of a community then. People had that as their vacation home. People didn't primarily live there, but it was vacation home. And it was a very tight community. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. Very few people really live there full-time.
So what else can you tell me about the history of Martins Beach? Has there been, your experience, you've really obviously enjoyed living there. And how did you come about to buy a place and live in Martins Beach?
Well, the short version is that my parents took us as children to many beaches on the San Mateo County coast, and Martins Beach became the favorite, and they became friends with the proprietors, and the proprietors sort of at least indirectly controlled who was able to buy a cabin when one did come up for sale. That was a rare event, but we were lucky and nabbed one in the early 1960s, late 1950s.
The surfing is supposed to be good down there. So did you surf as a young lad down there?
I started to surf when I was about 12. A lot less comfortable conditions than now. The wetsuits were real poor if we had them at all. We didn't have leashes and the boards were bigger and heavier. But surfing was never the big deal at Martins Beach. It only became a really popular big deal when there was an effort to close the beach. And then, of course, it became the forbidden fruit, the greener pasture, and now of course it's touted as being such a great surf spot, but it's not. It's a mediocre surf spot which has its good moments.
Okay, well, and you're right. As I recall, one of the things that started it was that the surfers no longer had access to Martins Beach. So
that's right, and so the Surf Rider Foundation spearheaded the lawsuit which ensured public access.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us about Martins Beach? We're almost out of time here.
No, nothing. Nothing. If people are curious, they should do their own investigations.
Yeah, you've said they've Googled it. And actually, you mentioned that you'd heard news reports internationally. Like, what countries and where else? Why would Martins Beach be so interesting to people in, I don't know, Australia or wherever else?
Well, I think it's because we have limited coastline in the world, and less still, which is desirable. So beach access has been an issue all over the world. I mean, most notably in places that are more developed, like part of the Australian coast, Southern California, and mm-hmm. Hawaii.
Right.
But, I mean, we've had some of the same controversies all the way up to Alaska and throughout the world. So I think that's why it generated a lot of attention.
Okay. Well, for now, it's very calm. People come visit. It's affordable. It's accessible anyway. And if you want to, you're welcome to go down, walk down, or pay a toll to go down and see Martin's Beach. And so that's what we know about Martin's Beach. And thank you, David Pasternak, for coming in and visiting with us today. I'm Cindy Menzel, and this is this week's Feature of the Week.
A little history about Martin's Beach, courtesy of KHNB contributor Cindy Menzel, and our feature story of the week. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson. If you listen carefully, you can hear the buzz of the KHNB time machine warming up. Cameron Palmer is standing by to transport us to the year 1943. You're listening to Community Radio for the Coastside, 100.9 KHMB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
This is the home of Radio Magazine. Locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
Hello, this is Bob Rogers, Executive Director of the Coastside Land Trust. The Coastside Land Trust is dedicated to the preservation, protection, and enhancement of our shared open space land. This includes the natural, scenic, recreational, cultural, historic, and agricultural resources of Half Moon Bay and the San Mateo Coast. We preserve and protect these shared lands by purchasing and accepting land donations and conservation easements, securing funding for land conservation, providing assistance and resources to landowners interested in protecting their land, leading numerous local programs focused on conservation, restoration, stewardship, and education, including our Junior Land Stewards Program, and free community webinars. If you're interested in getting involved or supporting our mission, please visit our website at coastsidelandtrust.org and join us in preserving the beauty and love of our coast for present and future generations.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
This week, we step out of the time machine into July 1943. What were things like on the coastside back then? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review, getting married is the cool thing. San Mateo County hit an all-time high in the number of marriage licenses issued in a month, with 138 being issued in June, according to the county clerk's office. Forest fire hazards at record peak. Motorists urged to exercise care. Throwing of lighted cigarettes, burning matches, and smoldering tobacco from cars is more prevalent this summer than ever before, says the California State Automobile Association. And need for soldier lodging. San Mateo County Board of Supervisors has authorized the County Civilian Defense Council to make a formal application for state financial assistance in establishing lodging facilities for visiting soldiers. Money will be used to convert the former Furniture Mart in San Mateo. The project would furnish 100 beds a night for visiting soldiers on leave. And now for a little history in the making from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. I'm beginning to learn so much about facing issues. It's all about attitude. Here's a recent tidbit that stuck in my brain. It's a simple word change. I've got to versus I get to. Here's how it works. And none of us are too old to switch. When something breaks down, for instance, I always think, I gotta call a repairman. When I turn on my new idea, it's, I get to call a repairman. It's usually Coastside Technical Services, by the way. They do a great job. The emphasis changes from negative to positive, and I get to think how glad I am for repairman experts to call. The concept goes from handling medical appointments to dealing with complaints to those little things that life throws you. Now it's all about I get to instead of I got to. Accentuate the positive. Keep calm and get on with it. The United States is now 2 years into World War II, and truly the war rages around the globe. But the war in Europe starts to turn in our favor as Italian and German forces surrender in North Africa. Italian dictator Mussolini resigns, and the surrender of Italy is announced on September 8th, where at home, due to the number of men fighting the war, 18 million women are employed in wartime manufacturing. Due to shortages, America sees its first rationing, which includes canned food, meat, cheese, butter, gasoline, even shoes. Due to the shortage of copper, the United States' 1 cent coin is made out of steel. This is also the year that future President Lieutenant John F. Kennedy's PT-109 is sunk by the Japanese destroyer. In 1943, our favorite pastime is listening to the radio and going to the movies. The most popular are Heaven Can Wait, Lassie, Come Home, and For Whom the Bell Tolls. The most popular music touches on the war, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition, and Coming in on a Wing and a Prayer. But we like to dance, and in 1943, one popular swing tune is Duke Ellington's Take the A Train. There were many goodbyes as young men and women parted because of the war, and slow dance love songs were popular on and off the dance floor. Here's one example, Dick Haymes, and You'll Never Know.
never know just how much I miss you. You'll never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. Ought to know, for haven't I told you so? A million or more times you went away, and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to tell you I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now.
Each week, the Time Machine takes us on an adventure of memories. Thanks for listening, and until next time, for the KHMB Time Machine, this is Cameron Palmer.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
This is the home of Radio Magazine, locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
This is Rachel Shanker, owner of CMIT Solutions, providing IT services to the nonprofits of the Coastside.
Hello, this is Eric DeBodie with Abundant Grace Coastside Worker, and I know a lot about working with the homeless, but next to nothing about how the internet works or how you get viruses on your computers. Luckily, I met Rachel Shanker at CMIT Solutions, and she came to Abundant Grace and set up all of our computers with the proper software so that we are safe and protected when we're online.
CMIT Solutions, providing local friendly IT specialists who are close by and ready to protect you from network breakdown or cybersecurity hacks. For more information on how we can be of service to your nonprofit or business, visit us at cmitsolutions.com or call us at 650-770-0258.
If I could talk to the animals.
It's time for Pet Patrol. Everything that pertains to our pets and animals. Pet Patrol is brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the Coastside. Visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com. And now, your host for Pet Patrol, Krista Livingston.
What happens if you go first? A pet trust will provide continuing care according to your wishes, and it will be legally enforceable. Outliving your pet is painful, but it's the natural order given the comparatively short animal lifespan. More difficult and more crucial to contemplate, what happens if you go first? Preparing for that contingency shouldn't be done casually. You need to be specific about your wishes to make sure they're enforceable by law, and to back up your plans with money designated for your pet's care. The good news, most states now have laws recognizing pet trusts. Quite simply, a pet trust is a legal arrangement that lets you designate assets such as insurance policies, real estate, cash, or a retirement fund for the care of your pet in the event of your disability or death. You can leave assets only to a living person. As a result, you have to find someone to receive the legal title to the assets that you're going to use to benefit the pet, and you have to find somebody willing to use that property to look after the pet. Pet trusts are not without difficulties. For one thing, the law considers pets to be property, akin to inanimate objects. Because inanimate objects can't receive an inheritance, a trustee and a caregiver must be assigned. In addition, in standard trusts, the beneficiary is the only one with standing to enforce a trust, to complain to the court, for example, that the conditions aren't being met. Obviously, pets can't do that. For an arrangement benefiting a pet to be enforceable, a type of trust called an honorary trust must be established. The participants include the settlor or grantor, the person who creates the trust, that's you, the trustee, the person who will manage and distribute the funds, the caregiver, who may or may not be the same person as the trustee. It's always wise to choose more than one caregiver in case circumstances change. And the beneficiary, that's your pet. You can add a provision in your will stating the intentions for your pet, but that language is not legally enforceable. You have no guarantee your pet will receive the care you envisioned. Recently, more states have enacted pet trust laws that function as honorary trusts. According to the ASPCA, 46 states and the District of Columbia have these statutes. Only Kentucky, Louisiana, Minnesota, and Mississippi do not. You will need to make sure the potential caregiver understands the details of your pet's care, including feeding, medical needs, exercise requirements, and contact information for his veterinarian. The amount of money to set aside for the care depends on your pet's age, health, and any extreme measures you want administered in case of illness. A rule of thumb is to multiply his average annual cost of care by a reasonable life expectancy, adding extra money for the caretaker's time. Be sure to include money for cremation or burial. The trustee is in charge of giving the money to the caretaker according to a prearranged schedule, usually done annually. If the trustee and caregivers are different people, give the trustee a photo of your pet, microchip information, and a DNA sample to protect against fraud. There have been cases of a caregiver getting a replacement pet to continue receiving money when the pet died prematurely. Be sure to give copies of the trust to the trustee and caregivers and stay in touch with them to update your trust in case circumstances change. You can fill out forms for a pet trust on the internet or consult an attorney. The most important thing is to get the paperwork done so you can have peace of mind about your pet's future if you're not around to guide it. I know this isn't something most of us want to think about, but it is necessary. I've seen too many pets abandoned or taken to the shelter by family members when the owner passes away. It's important to protect your pet, even when you're not around anymore to do so. Until next week, this is Krista Livingston with Kibbles and Gifts and Kibbles Pet Care.
If I could talk to the animals.
Pet Patrol is a regular feature of KHNB Radio. If you have an animal-related announcement, just call us at 453-4000 or email us pets@khmbradio.com. Pet Patrol has been brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the coastside. Phone them at 726-3700 or visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com.
This is the home of Radio Magazine. Locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
Half Moon Bay has a rich history. In its early years, it was a settlement known as Spanish Town, having gotten its name because it was part of early California Spanish land grants. The culinary spirit of Spanish Town lives on in the form of Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant. Known for its simple yet delicious food made with fresh ingredients, Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant provides a warm and inviting atmosphere, perfect for enjoying classic dishes like burritos, enchiladas, fajitas, tamales, and more. Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant is located at 515 Church Street across from Cunha Elementary School. Treat your taste buds to an olé experience at Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Have you heard that the U.S. Surgeon General recently issued an advisory outlining the direct link between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk? Hello, my name is Reverend Dr. Lily Godso, pastoral psychotherapist, and your guest host today for Keeping Pace with Your Health. Today, I'm going to talk to you about alcohol use and the steps you can take now to safeguard yourself and your well-being. Recent news from the U.S. Surgeon General has brought to light a crucial health concern, the link between alcohol consumption and cancer. This may be unsettling news for many, but understanding the risks and knowing the steps you can take to protect your health is more important than ever. For years, we've been aware of the effects of alcohol has on our liver, brain, and heart. But now research reveals that alcohol can increase the risk of developing certain cancers, including breast cancer, liver cancer, and cancers of the mouth and throat. In fact, the Surgeon General's report urges that no level of alcohol consumption is completely risk-free when it comes to cancer. So, what does this mean for you? It's simple. Understanding the risks of alcohol and taking steps to evaluate your habits is the first step toward better health. If you or someone you care about drinks regularly, it's time to think about the impact of that decision. When I come back, I'll talk about the practical steps you can take today to evaluate your drinking habits and more after this word from Dr. Brian Shepherd.
This is Dr. Brian Shepherd. Do you snore or have trouble sleeping? If so, you may have obstructive sleep apnea. If untreated, obstructive sleep apnea can lead to stroke, heart problems, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Shepherd Family Dentistry can arrange a home sleep study connected with a specialized MD for diagnosis and customize a discreet appliance to alleviate symptoms and provide restful sleep. We can bill medical insurance and Medicare. If you would like to learn more, call us at 726-3355 or visit us at shepherddentist.com. You can get a good night's sleep, and I would like to show you how.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street. Phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Lily Godso, pastoral psychotherapist, and today we are discussing the recent U.S. Surgeon General advisory outlining the direct link between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk. We want to start by evaluating our drinking habits. Take a close look at your alcohol consumption. Are you drinking more than you intended? The Centers for Disease Control defines heavy drinking as more than 8 drinks a week for women and 15 drinks a week for men. Are you exceeding that? This is a good time to be honest with yourself. You'll also want to consider your family's health history. Some people may have a higher genetic risk of developing certain cancers. It's important to know your family health history and talk with your doctor about how alcohol could interact with those factors. And if you're concerned or need support, talking to a healthcare provider is a good next step. They can help you assess your alcohol use, identify any signs of risk, and guide you through safe ways to reduce consumption. But let's be clear, you're not alone. Whether you're thinking about cutting back, quitting, or just want to know more, there are resources out there to support you. The National Cancer Institute has tools to help you assess your risk, and local health agencies such as the San Mateo County Health Department offer counseling and support for those looking to make a change. Remember, your health is a journey, and taking small steps today can lead to a healthier tomorrow. If you're worried about alcohol's impact on your health or the risk of cancer, you don't have to face it alone. Taking the first step by reaching out to your healthcare provider or visiting online resources. Take the first step by reaching out to your healthcare provider or visiting online resources. You are your best advocate, and together we can make choices that support a longer, healthier life. For additional information or support, please feel free to reach out to me at 415-225-0973 or visit my website, lilygodso.com. That's L-I-L-Y, Lily, Godso, G-O-D-S-O-E.com. And let's start a conversation today to help you take the next step toward understanding and action. Your health matters. Don't wait. Start the conversation today. Until next time, this has been Reverend Dr. Lily Godso with Keeping Pace with Your Health.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
This is the home of Radio Magazine. Locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
Father Carousel. Father Carousel.
Coastside Carousel. The show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's. Good food and good times for the entire family. And now your host for Coastside Carousel.
Listener-supported community radio for the Coastside is KHMB. And welcome to Coastside Carousel, the show that's by and for local artists along the Coastside and the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live. I'm Mike Dale. Support for Coastside Carousel comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, the only true British pub on the coast and voted one of the top eight pubs in all of California. This week we meet the band Poi Rogers, comprised of Carolyn Sills, who I featured on Carousel in the past, and her life partner, Gerard Egan. It's award-winning American roots music. Think of juke joints, dive bars, and campfires. Poi Rogers is currently on a concert tour of California, Nevada, and Colorado, and their album Twilight Blues, brand new, jumped the charts from 170 to number 11 on the alt country charts, and they're just a few spins away from the top dogs Willie Nelson and Alison Krauss. Very impressive. Life on the road with Carolyn Sills. Where are you now on the massive tour, Carolyn?
We're in Reno, Nevada tonight. We've been here, played two shows already, and we got two more shows at the wonderful Peppermill Casino here in Reno. And this is week four of our four-week tour in support of our new Poi Rogers album, so we're pretty excited.
But, you know, I was looking at the website, carolynsills.com, excellent website, by the way, you're booked all the way through October, it looks to me.
Yeah, you know, it's been a busy year so far. This was kind of our plan, you know, towards the end of last year. We decided, well, we're putting out our first Poi Rogers album, and we figured might as well take it out there on the road. I mean, as an independent musician, the best way to spread the word and get people into your new music is to take it out there, so that's exactly what we wanted to do, and so far so good. We're having a blast.
You know, it's funny, Carolyn, I interview a lot of Coastside artists, and I've never seen a tour this long and this wide from a local Coastside artist before.
Oh, cool. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, we're lucky. You know, we toured for a few years with the Carolyn Sills Combo, our other, you know, five-piece band before COVID. And, you know, just from playing around so much and meeting people and other bands, you know, you kind of start to give a catalog of venues to play and other bands to hook up with when you're traveling. And we're lucky that we're able to put something like this together. We have another three-week tour booked for August and then just a bunch of kind of random shows throughout July, September, October. So, yeah, things are looking good for Poi Rogers so far.
Now, I know you're all over the place. Are you coming back to the Coastside during that first swing of the tour?
So we're playing San Gregorio General Store, which is one of our favorite spots, in July. We'll be there on Friday, July 18th.
All right, let's talk about the band name, because you're not going to fool me now. This is a takeoff on this is a takeoff on Roy Rogers, right? Hawaiian style? Tell us more about that.
Exactly. No, you nailed it. Yeah. So, you know, this project was kind of new. You know, the other person in Poi Rogers is my husband, Gerard Egan, who plays guitar and steel guitar. And when we first started getting this project going a couple years ago, it really just started as the two of us just having fun in our living room. He really wanted to get into more of the Hawaiian steel guitar sound, which is kind of the sound you hear of the steel guitar and like the 20s, 30s, and then that became the precursor to like the non-pedal steel guitar sound in a lot of Western swing music in the 30s and 40s. So that's kind of the stuff we gravitate towards. You know, we own a lot of records that we like to listen to those styles of music from back then. And so he started playing a lot of the non-pedal steel, and I started to get way more into the upright bass, which is what I play with this project, as opposed to the electric bass in the other band. And we were just walking around with our dog one night and thinking, well, who's going to want to come see a kind of Hawaiian cowboy, you know, Western swing duo? And then we were trying to think of a name for the project, and we just came up with Poi Rogers as a way to kind of mix, you know, kind of our Sons of the Pioneers, cowboy Roy Rogers side of things with the Hawaiian steel guitar, and it just stuck. The rest is history.
I absolutely love it. I got to tell I've been laughing out loud the whole time waiting to interview you today. As a matter of fact, Caroline, I'm going to call it Don Ho meets American Roots.
I love it. I'm going to quote you on that. Great.
We're going to play three songs today from your new album called Twilight Blues. And what I'd like to do, Carolyn, is start off with the title track, Twilight Blues. The steel guitar on here is just eminently beautiful. Tell us about the track, how you wrote it, what it means to you.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Yeah, well, as I said, you know, that's Gerard Egan on the steel guitar there. The guitar he's playing is actually a triple neck Fender steel guitar, and it's a non-pedal steel. I feel like a lot of people are more familiar with the pedal steel these days, which is played a lot more in like modern country music. But this instrument predates that. So he's got three necks on there, each with eight strings, so 24 strings total. And he's doing it all, you know, with his hands. There's no like pedals or levers to push to get like the slants and different sounds. And this song itself is actually an old tune from the 30s called Twilight Blues. And it's a song we've always been fans of, but we thought, well, why don't we kind of try to make a new arrangement of it and also add some vocals to it, which it never had before. So we kind of tried to do a bit of a Les Paul, Mary Ford sort of effect on there with me singing kind of four harmonies with myself and trying to make a new sound out of an old tune.
That is fantastic. Let's play it now for Coastside Carousellers. This is Carolyn Sills and husband Gerard Egan, otherwise known as Poi Rogers, Twilight Blues on Coastside Carousel, KHMB.
Twilight blues, twilight blues.
100.9 FM and AM 1710 is KHMB. This is Coastside Carousel, and you just heard the beautiful music of Poi Rogers, Carolyn Sills, Gerard Egan, a beautiful duo, and that is Twilight Blues. Carolyn, when you're putting this sausage together, you talked about harmonizing with yourself. Gerard's playing all the instruments on this. What studio did you produce this in to create this beautiful sound?
Great question. We work with a really talented guy in Santa Cruz. His name is Andy Zenzek, and he has a studio called Gadget Box. And he's actually recorded, engineered a bunch of our Carolyn Sills combo albums and videos as well. But just a super talented guy, a really nice guy as well. And we just love working with him. And yeah, when we came to him with this project, you know, we wanted it just to be the two of us as it is when you see us on stage. But we also wanted to add a little bit of, you know, studio magic just to try to enhance the songs a little. So on a lot of the tracks, you'll hear Gerard playing both steel guitar and standard guitar. And then we'll both be singing, adding some harmonies. And even our dog Cowboy makes a cameo on a couple tracks there. So kind of wanted to, you know, it to be seeing us live, but with a little bit of added support just to, you know, round out the record a bit.
You know, I'm thinking out loud to myself, what a beautiful life you and Gerard have. You're touring on the road, madly in love. You're both musicians. There's no infighting like Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac. No breakup songs. It's just beautiful music together. Tell us more about your partnership over the years.
Oh, that's nice of you to ask. Yeah, we know how extremely lucky we are. I mean, not everybody is able to meet a partner that they can, you know, have so much fun with, but also someone that they want to spend basically all their time with. I mean, we, you know, we play music together, we write, we tour, and actually when we're not on the road, we also have a guitar repair shop in Soquel near Santa Cruz. So it's pretty much, you know, all guitars all the time for us, but, you know, we wouldn't have it any other way. We've been together, gosh, almost 20-something years now and have been playing music that whole time. And, you know, it's wonderful not just to, you know, grow older with someone and get to know someone better, but also, you know, be able to have your music evolve with someone, you know, that you've been playing with for a few decades now. So we're definitely really fortunate.
Literally and figuratively, you're the house of twang, right?
Exactly. It follows us everywhere, yeah.
Let's play another track now called You're All That I Need. Tell us about this song.
Well, it's a good segue into this song. So that tune is actually an old song from the 1950s that Tennessee Ernie Ford and Kay Starr recorded. And it's this beautiful, haunting tune that's actually called I'll Never Be Free. And we always enjoyed that track so much, not just because of their fantastic singing and just the arrangement of the tune, but also because two of the musicians on there are the great Speedy West and Jimmy Bryant, who are big influences on Gerard and his both guitar playing and steel playing. And it's a song that we've always kind of played and thought we should, you know, cover. And then one day it just occurred to us, you know, the reason we're just not comfortable playing this live is because the song is all about, you know, wanting to escape this lover that you just, like, can't get away from. And, you know, that's definitely not the situation when it comes to the two of us. And we're big on, you know, playing and singing songs that are genuine to who we are and what we do. So we decided to rewrite the lyrics and we changed the song from I'll Never Be Free to You're All That I Need. So the song and the arrangement is from the old 1950 track, but we added our own lyrics on there and did a little bit of a twist on it. So a good way to sum up our relationship, I think.
Wonderful. Let's hear it now. This is called You're All That I Need. It's Coastside Carousel, Poi Rogers on KHMB.
There's nothing more. I'm here to stay.
You're all that I need.
I'm here to stay.
You're all that I need. You're all that I need.
Community Radio for the Coastside is KHMB, and this is Coastside Carousel, brought to us each week by Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, the only true British pub on the coast. And we're listening to the cool Hawaiian vibes of Poi Rogers. Get it? Roy Rogers meets Hawaii. It's Carolyn Sills and Gerard Egan. It's kind of a play on words, but the music is beautiful to play. And Carolyn Sills is on the KHMB Carousel line with me today as they're on the road. What a massive road trip you're on. Do you want to talk more about that? Are you gigging like every other night?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's hard to book shows on like Mondays, sometimes Tuesdays. So, you know, we'll occasionally have a day off. But yeah, I mean, when we're on the road, you know, we figure we're out here, we're doing this, so we want to play as much as possible.
Let's move into another song. And this song reminds me of wanting to go to Hawaii immediately and drink a Mai Tai. It's called Why Oh Why Have I Not Been to Hawaii? Gerard on steel guitar is just beautiful on this. Tell us more about this song.
Thank you. Yeah, well, that again, you know, when we first started with this Poi Rogers concept, we were kind of joking, well, you know, how authentic are we going to be if we've never been to Hawaii together? And so this was actually the first song we wrote as Poi Rogers, just kind of a play on that, hoping that one day we'll get out there. I feel like every show we play, people ask us afterwards, you know, you must have been to Hawaii or played Hawaii before. So it's definitely on the list to try to get over there and hopefully play some shows. But just out of that, this next tune came, Why Oh Why Have I Not Been to Hawaii?
I love it. Here it is right now on Coastside Carousel. Why Oh Why Have I Not Been to Hawaii? I've been a lot, but maybe you haven't. But you should go after you hear this song on KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
Down on Waikiki. Why oh why have I not been to Hawaii? Not spent the night beneath the kawa tree. I've strolled the sails of Alcatraz surrounded by the sea. But why I've not been to Hawaii is more criminal.
the all the people smiling on the sacred seven islands out in the reef.
FM and AM 1710 is KHMB. This is Coastside Carousel. I'm Mike Dale. The show brought to us each week by Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, the only true British pub on the coast. And with me on the KHMB Carousel line is Carolyn Sills of Poi Rogers, a play on words. Roy Rogers meets Hawaiian music with her partner Gerard Egan, longtime partnership in life and a longtime partnership in music. Carolyn, when you're coming back to town, and when I say back to town, you'll be at the San Gregorio General Store on July 18th. Tell us about that gig. Are you going to bring some local guys in to help you out on that gig?
I think that one will just be the two of us again. It'll be the first time we've played there since the record came out, and so we wanted to kind of celebrate that with them there. You know, Casey and the gang that run the General Store have been really good to us and done a lot of shows with us over the years, so we're huge fans of that place and everybody that hangs out there, so we're looking forward to celebrating the new record with them all.
And a reminder now to go to carolynsills.com or even all the streaming platforms to download the album Twilight Blues. Let's get those spins going and get you up to number one ahead of Willie Nelson and Alison Krauss.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for that. I really appreciate it.
Carolyn, thanks for doing this today. I know you're busy. I know how hard it is on the road, and you took about 20 minutes for us today. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No, absolute pleasure, Mike. You're always so fun to talk to, and really appreciate all your listeners tuning in to our new stuff. Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of Coastside Carousel. Remember to support our local musicians, the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live, and the wonderful music venues along the coastside. Stay in tune and be well on your carousel.
On the carousel. On the carousel.
You've been listening to Coastside Carousel, featuring the music and artist of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Today, we heard that our founding fathers were largely atheists, agnostics, or deists. The writings of founding father Richard Henry Lee strongly refute that assertion. Richard Henry Lee was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and he is specifically the man who made the motion in Congress that America separate from Great Britain. Following his death, his papers and correspondence, including numerous original handwritten letters from other prominent founding fathers, were passed on to his grandson. After having studied those letters, this was how the grandson described our founding fathers. He declared, "The wise and great men of those days were not ashamed publicly to confess the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In behalf of the people, as their representatives and rulers, they acknowledged the sublime doctrine of his mediation."
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.